If you'll turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 17, we'll be looking this morning at verses 11 through 19, the Gospel according to Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. This morning we'll be reading these verses that Luke records for us for the time when Jesus healed the 10 lepers. And it, for us, looking at the Scripture, it doesn't surprise us that Jesus would do this miracle, this amazing feat for 10 individuals at once. It's not uncommon to see Him heal one or even two blind men, but at this point that we're reading about, He actually performs a healing to 10 people. And I want us to look at that and then try to apply this one leper who came back to glorify the Lord to see what we can learn from him. In Luke 17, verse 11, we read, "Now it happened as Jesus, went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee." Now, when we take the four Gospels together and we try to make a somewhat of a chronological timeline of the ministry of Jesus, we know at this point the earthly ministry of Jesus is coming toward an end. The earthly life of Jesus, living in the flesh, walking around Jerusalem, Galilee, and Samaria, is winding down. Luke records five miracles during this period of the ministry. This miracle, though, is unique because it involves 10 people. Jesus' destination is Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, He will be arrested, taken into custody, and crucified, where He will pay the price for our sins and rise from the dead. He's not making a straight path to Jerusalem, though. What we see is He's going through Samaria and Galilee. It's not a direct route. And He's passing through these areas doing the work as He goes toward Jerusalem, His destination. In verse 12, we read, "Then as Jesus entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off." As he's about to enter the city, the Bible says there are 10 people who are infected with leprosy and suffering from this dreaded disease. Now, Jesus has healed leprosy before. We see in Luke's Gospel in the 5th chapter where he touches and heals the man with leprosy. But this time there are 10 men, 10 individuals, who are infected, who are suffering, and have this great need. See, leprosy was a disease that could be used to describe a variety of disorders of the skin. Today we know leprosy as a disease caused by bacteria that can actually be cured by the proper use of antibiotics. If leprosy was the same then as it is today, then there was no known cure in those days. And under the law of Moses, God had given specific instructions on determining if a person had leprosy or not. And the priests were given responsibilities of how to determine who had it, who didn't. And leprosy, being caused by this bacterial infection that attacks the skin and even the nerve endings, it will eventually cause numbness on the nerve endings. That can increase the risk of problem. A different disease, but if you look at diabetes left uncontrolled today, can cause a very similar issue with nerve pain and numbness, so people cannot feel what they step on or what they touch. Back to leprosy, though, it causes this injury to the skin. It causes damage to the extremities. Left untreated, it can cause injury to internal organs. And while the extremities may be numb to the touch, the nerve pain would be unbearable. It would be like you're on fire. The pain would be very great. And while leprosy itself may not have been the exact cause of death, it would certainly lead to death. And we learn from studying that it was likely that a person in biblical times suffering from leprosy would probably live 10 to 30 years. Now, on one side of things, we would be great. It doesn't kill them immediately. The problem is they suffer for decades with this terrible disease. In biblical times, people with leprosy were outcasts in society. They were infected. They were contagious. They were unclean. Even their clothes were contagious. Because they had this disease that there was no cure for, they could not work and make money. They could not make items to sell or to barter. They had nothing. They were poor. They wouldn't have any clothes except what they had on or what they might could come across and find. And not to mention, because it is an infection of the skin, the wounds that it causes would result in a foul odor. To be just blunt about it, they would stink. You couldn't get enough baths in creeks and rivers to be cleansed. And God gave specific instructions under the law of how to deal with lepers. And it wasn't that God didn't care about the lepers and He was just kicking them out. The fact is, God cared about the Hebrew people, how to keep them pure and clean and to keep these diseases from spreading and infecting the whole nation. Therefore, under the law of Moses, these individuals were put out of the city. They would have to live outside the city walls. They were not able to have contact with their family or friends. No job, no way of making money. Unable to go worship God in the temple. There was no cure. When we begin to consider the disease of leprosy, it was a disease in which there was no hope. A terrible, miserable existence. And I think we can see why leprosy is often used as a symbol for sin. It separates us from God. On our own, we are helpless to do anything about it. And the Bible says here in Luke 17, verse 12, that as Jesus entered this certain village, there were 10 men who were lepers and they stood afar off. Imagine as Jesus and His disciples begin to come close to this town. Perhaps they're walking down the dusty trail of and going toward this city that has a gated wall around it. And off in the distance, there's a small group of individuals. And they can hear them saying something. And as they get closer, they hear it more clearly. And the men are crying out, "Unclean! Unclean!" They were commanded to do that. To prevent someone from accidentally getting too close to them and contacting this disease. No doubt if you could get close enough to them that they would smell. They're hopeless. They're helpless to change their lives and their situation. Destined, it seemed, to suffer until their death. In verse 13, "And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" These individuals, infected with leprosy, contagious, contaminated, separated from society, separated from their friends and their families and their loved ones, who were poor and have nothing, they apparently recognize Jesus. We don't know how. We're not even told why. But I think it makes a difference when Jesus passes by. And we need to be sensitive. And isn't it amazing that it's possible? I'm not trying to add to Scripture, but if these men had been clean and had been out in the fields working, Jesus and His entourage might have passed by and they just kept right on working and never noticed. But because of their situation, because of their disease, because of their sickness, they had to focus on the one thing, the one person who might be able to help them. Suddenly, they seem to have a little glimmer of hope. There's this chance that the Lord will deliver them. And they cry out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Verse 14, "So when Jesus saw them, He said to them, 'Go, show yourselves to the priest.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed." Jesus told them to go show themselves to the priest, and by doing so, He was abiding by the law of Moses. Because according to the Levitical law, a person who had leprosy, who had this skin disorder, And if it cleared up, perhaps if they were diagnosed with leprosy, the priest said, yes, that's it, you have to be separated. But it was a small spot, and perhaps their immune system was strong enough to fight it off. Or maybe they had the right potion or concoction that would actually make it go away. They would have to go back to the priest, and the priest would have to declare them clean and go through the certain ritual, and then they would be released to go back in with their family. These men, we've already read, stood afar off. They knew they were unclean. To go before the priest unclean was not allowed. They were unclean, so they could only go before the priest if they were better. If the leprosy, if the skin disorder was gone. So I want us to see it takes faith for these men to do what Jesus said. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And He said, go, show yourselves to the priest. If they look down, they're still going to see the leprosy. They can't go to the priest. They still have the leprosy. And what we see is when Jesus makes commands for us, often it takes faith. It takes faith, the Bible says in Hebrews, to please God. Notice Jesus, and I'm not trying to be funny here, and I don't want to be too critical. I have a tendency to do that. But notice Jesus wasn't interested in fame or a show. He didn't go up to each of them and pop them all on the forehead. He didn't do any kind of fancy shows, no magical. Jesus said, go, show yourselves to the priest. It was a command that would test their faith in Him. They were not healed until they obeyed. It was after they started on their trip to the priest that we're going to notice the healing take place. To enter back into the community, they had to go through the prescribed procedures in the law of Moses. Now, I want to just for a moment, just for a brief moment, imagine what the priest must have thought. To serve as a priest, you might see leprosy cured once in a year, once in 10 years, maybe once in the lifetime of serving as a priest. So it would be an amazing thing to see a case of leprosy healed. Well, yes, I know what you look like, and now it's gone. But to see 10 lepers healed at one time? The priest would certainly take notice of that. In verses 15 and 16, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him, Jesus, thanks, and he was a Samaritan. How many of them came back? One. How easy would it have been for him to follow the rest, to follow the crowd to the priest? See, it's easy for us to get caught up following the crowd too. This is what everybody else is doing. This is what everybody else is going. So just kind of get caught up following the crowd. But this one, he wasn't as interested in what the priest had to say, although the priest would be the one to declare him clean and allow him to return to his family. He wasn't as interested as what the priest had to say as he was giving glory to the one who healed him. He was thankful for the blessings of God. He desired to praise Jesus for this healing. He desired to be in the presence of the Lord more than he wanted to be in the presence of the priest. And the Bible says here, with a loud voice, he used it to praise God. Now we try to put ourselves in his place to imagine his state. He's had this deadly disease. He's been separated from his loved ones and friends. He's had no job, no money, no income. He's been in the same filthy, dirty clothes for we don't know how long. Perhaps weeks, months, years, we don't know. But he's been healed of this deadly disease. One who had no hope, yet he has now received this miracle. He's going to be able to enjoy His family, His friends. He's going to be able to go back to the temple and go through all the worship that He once got to enjoy. In verse 16, He fell down on His face at Jesus' feet, giving Jesus thanks. And He was a Samaritan. Now, the fact that He was a Samaritan would have been a surprise to the Jews. You know, there was a lot of dislike between the two groups. The Jews felt the Samaritans were an impure group because of what had happened centuries earlier. And there was apparently, from what we tell in the Scripture, there was no love lost between the Hebrew people and the Samaritans. But this Samaritan not only praises Jesus with a loud voice, we read. He falls down on His face. It speaks of humility, of being humble, knowing He's not worthy of this work that He has received, this work of Jesus in His life. And he worshiped the Lord, giving Him thanks because he had reason to praise God. Now, I want to pause just a moment and ask you, because I doubt any of you have ever had leprosy, but has God ever done a work in your life? Has the Lord Jesus ever performed a miracle, came through when you felt like there was no hope or no chance, and suddenly there's a little glimmer of hope, and the next thing you know, God's done this amazing work? See, this man could have followed the crowd. He could have gone with the crowd to the priest. He could have gone on to make the sacrifices to God. But he knew that he had received mercy and he had experienced the power of God. And he knew that there was something to this Jesus that healed him and he deserved praise and worship. What we're going to see as we close these verses on out is this man knew that he needed more than a physical healing. He needed a relationship with his healer. Verse 17. So he's returned, he's glorified with a loud voice, he's fallen at Jesus' feet and he gives thanks, he's a Samaritan. Verse 17. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. So in other words, Jesus said, where are the others? I healed 10, right? Where are the other 9? They should be here too. Notice the Samaritan fell at Jesus' feet and glorified God with a loud voice, praised Him for what He did. And Jesus said, in verse 18, were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Again, Jesus has healed in the past. The leper that He healed in Luke chapter 5, He told to tell no one. But He's about to reveal Himself as the promised Messiah. It's now time to tell. It's now time to give God glory. And He's identifying Himself as God in the flesh. And those other 9, they should have been there. They should have returned to give God glory as well. The issue is they weren't looking for a spiritual change. They didn't have the desire to worship God. They just wanted relief of their symptoms. They just wanted life to return to normal. It was a shallow faith. A superficial faith, if you will. It's the kind of faith that many times I've had in my life, and so many I see do. God, make me happy. God, keep me happy. God, do this for me. God, do that for me. God, it's all about me, 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 but don't ask me to serve You. Certainly don't ask me to fall before You on my face. Don't ask me to glorify You with a loud voice. Don't ask me to get excited for what You're doing. Don't ask me to serve You. They all had experienced blessings from God. But only one put forth the effort to praise God. Only one returned to give glory to God. And I think this question could be asked in every pulpit across the country today. Have not all people experienced blessings from God? We all have. And I'm not insinuating that you have to be in church to glorify God or to give Him glory. You don't. But there is the command not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some.
Where are the people at to glorify God? It's amazing to me, and I won't even have to name names, but you can go certain directions, like if you were to travel north toward Tennessee in just a few minutes, you'll have trouble getting up the highway because there's so many people parked on the sides of the road trying to get in for apples. For goodness sakes, people, it's an apple. I'm not being funny, but this morning, not just in this place, but in churches across the land, we have an opportunity to come and to worship God and to glorify God, to have an encounter with God, to have an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can't beg people hard enough to come. See, the fact is, too many of us are like the nine. We want the blessings. We want the healing. But don't ask too much out of us, Lord. But Jesus said in verse 19, He said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." I think the KJV says, "Your faith has made you whole." Because of this man's faith, this one Samaritan's desire to grow closer, the desire to have a relationship with the healer, this need he had, he realized apparently as they're going on their way that he's been healed, that the leprosy is gone, and he's had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And apparently he realized he needed more than the physical healing. That's wonderful and great and worthy of glory, which he goes back to give. But it appears he realizes he has a need that the other nine do not. The need of salvation. The literal translation of what Jesus said here is, "Arise, go your way, your faith," the Greek word is sozo, "your faith has saved you." Over 90 times this word used in the New Testament is translated saved or salvation. Less than 10 is it whole or well. The other nine, were they healed? Yes. But this one came back and received more than a physical healing. The context seems to imply he received salvation. Everyone has something to praise God about this morning. But for those of us who have a relationship with Jesus, for those of us who have been saved, we have so much more to give praise for. The whole idea of salvation. As people, we like to add to it. We try to add to it. But salvation is by grace, through faith. It's God's work. His offer of His only begotten Son, Jesus, God in the flesh, who became human, born as a baby, lived a sinless life, but yet willingly identified with us, was baptized by John in the River Jordan, started His earthly ministry, and performed all these miracles. And although He was tempted in all points, yet sinned not, He willingly laid His life down, shed His blood for our sin. And all we have to do is believe. There's nothing else you can do to be saved. You must be born again, and that comes through faith. If there's anyone here this morning that you've never been saved, you've never been born again, what you need to know is God loves you. Jesus died for you. The Holy Spirit's knocking at your heart's door right now, wanting you to repent and to call upon His name and accept Him for who He is. There's nothing you can do. You can't go home and throw away this and get rid of that and try to get good enough for God to save you. The only thing you can do is answer the call when God calls. And there's no better time than right now. This morning, as you look at your life, not just on Sunday morning, but as you look at your life, your praise, your worship, your obedience, I want to ask you, because this is something only you and the Lord would know, are you more like the nine? You receive the blessing of God, no doubt are thankful for it, but you kind of go with the crowd. You go with the flow of what everybody else is doing. But the fact is, and you and the Lord alone know this, your faith might be a little superficial. Or are you like the one, the Samaritan? That you have a desire to worship the Lord, to serve the Lord, to glorify the Lord. Because as I look around, and there's many people in different stages in life, different ages in this congregation, different places in their spiritual walk and spiritual maturity, but every single one of us are blessed. Every single one of us have had the goodness of God poured out upon our lives. But do you take that goodness and do you turn it around to offer praise and worship? Or is your life spent on your own desires? And again, I'm not being judgmental. I don't know. This is between you and the Lord and me and the Lord. I would pray that each one of us would be like the one who returned when he saw he was healed and gave thanks to the Lord Jesus, who gave glory to God for the miracle and the healing and the power, who fell at his feet, who humbled himself down. And this morning, I'm not trying to hype you up. But when's the last time you glorified God with a loud voice? Now again, I don't want anyone to just do it for show. This Samaritan wasn't doing it for show. It came from the sincerity of his heart. There might be some here this morning, you've never glorified God with a loud voice. I'm not putting you down. That might not be your personality or your style. But notice Jesus didn't condemn or rebuke this Samaritan for that. Shh. You might offend some of the followers. Hush that up. We've never been healed of leprosy. But if you're saved this morning, you've been healed of a disease far worse than leprosy. You've been set free from the disease of sin. So why the Bible says sin no longer has dominion over you? Because Jesus set you free. He broke sin's power at Calvary's cross. And all we have to do is believe and accept that. As you stand to your feet this morning as the praise team comes forward.